Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on bbsradio.com. I am told that we are the number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet. That's impressive. Now stop and think about that. That is impressive. Go ahead and get a piece of pencil or a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen out, and in a few minutes I'll give you two phone numbers. Our direct call-in numbers in the U.S. is different from Canada. I'm still waiting for that first Canadian phone call. It's been a dream. We invite you to call in anytime and as often as you can to share our next hour. We have no interruption, so you have all hour to call in. I enjoy doing many readings for you. This is Elaine Ireland. My website is ElaineIrelandPsychic.com, E-L-A-I-N-E, Ireland, Psychic. The website is still being worked on, but we're getting closer. We're getting much closer to getting it back on, so I'm very proud of what's going on there. It's going to be really neat. We don't have a guest tonight, but I do have some thoughts. Yes, a whole hour of Elaine's thoughts. Scary, huh? Tonight we're going to look at balance, the word balance, and what it means to you. I want you to think about that as we go through the hour. And I've been thinking for 2 days now what it meant to me to be in balance. And is it necessary to be in perfect balance all the time? And what does that mean? Does that mean that you have an equal amount of financial stability, an equal amount of emotional, physical, spiritual development and security? And if you don't, what happens? What throws you off balance? You know, we can lose our balance, our footing. That's simple. We can lose financial balance, any of the categories that I just went down. Of course, we can lose our balance in those, but what does it do to our life? Does it create challenges for us? Of course it does. And how deep or how challenging should it be? Or can it be? And if we are out of balance, is that a karmic thing? Or is it, if you believe in karma, or is it intentional by spirit to teach us lessons? So what does balance mean? What got me just thinking about all of this is I went to my second Indian powwow this weekend with Dolly. And it was a smaller powwow than the first one that we had gone to. There were both, it was a smaller space, physical space. There were fewer people there. Again, it was out in the open. We had to take our own things to sit on. There were no bleachers. It was a lovely weekend, weather-wise, a little on the warm side, but not insufferable. We were in Tennessee, and no, the leaves are not changing yet, although I was told they would be. Just gorgeous. But what fascinated me was watching the people who can justifiably claim American Indian heritage and who dance, who play the drums, whether it's the host of drums or other drums. The men, of course, play the drums. Women do not. They sing. They back up the men on the drums. And watching these wonderful dances that I'm beginning to understand better and beginning to watch the steps with a more educated eye, listen to the MC. He always tells you a little bit about the dance, why it's being done, and draws your attention to whether it's a beautiful lady standing perfectly still and moving to the beat and of her of the drums and never moving away from one spot, so it looks like she's just hopping on her toes. But there is a step to that. And those are the ones that are dressed in the beautiful leather dresses, and they have long fringe. And it's all about the flow and the beauty of the fringe and how she can make the fringe move. And it's tiring because it's all on her toes and the calves of her legs. And watching these people, from the simple people who barely got out of high school, if that, to the very wealthy, and yet they come together at a powwow to celebrate just being alive and move around to the dance. They follow the ritual of the dance. They have a particular step. It's like there's one called duck and dive, and it's a warrior dance done only by the men. And yet there's a rhythm to it, and perfect steps. And you'll see two or three men maybe line up together and do it in perfect harmony. There were two in particular this time that I'd seen at the other powwow that would do that together, not only the duck and dive, but other dances as well. And the point being, all of these people come together in their own form of balance. They're Indian. They're human, and they're Indian at that gathering. It doesn't matter how big their pocketbook is. It doesn't matter how young or how old. The elderly gentleman that can barely walk, much less do the energetic dance, will be out there with the youngsters that are 10, 11, or younger, and dancing circles around the elders with respect. But they're all out there together. That's their balance. It just amazed me that they're so sincere and they're so real with what they're doing. They're so dedicated with the way they live their life. I'm beginning to meet some of the people and see their families and meet their family units. And I got to meet a mother and her husband and two sons and the mother and the son of another family. Owen, I forgot. Her husband came up too. So two families. One is a drummer, and the mother of the two boys who dance, and then the older one's best friend and his mom and dad. And in listening to them talk, and getting a sense of what their socioeconomic situation is, and they're living very much the Indian way of life in today's world, in dealing with lack of insurance, lack of jobs, worrying about their kids going into the military. You know, how are they going to get to college? Fortunately, all three of these boys are very bright, and they probably won't have any difficulty getting into college. But right now, today, they're trying to find balance in an everyday world that we live in, but honor their heritage. Now, I'm not saying that other nationalities or religions or cultural circumstances don't honor. I'm just saying that this is one of the most condensed grouping of people that I've been fortunate enough to be introduced to and to be a part of, get to observe in this way. I've never been to a Jewish bar mitzvah. I might see the same thing at a Jewish bar mitzvah. I have no idea. So this is my realm of experience. So forgive me if I'm overlooking something. I was just awestruck this particular time. Maybe I had too much to look at the first time. I didn't take it all in. Maybe it was because this was a smaller group of people, and I could more easily look at individual faces, and I did get to visit more than I did the first time. The first time I got to meet the gentlemen who were and their ladies that were part of a host drum that was just, the sound was just absolutely magical. But this time I got to actually sit and visit, ask questions about their regalia and their lifestyle and why they were doing this. And the oldest teenager looked at me like, that's the dumbest question I've ever heard. Why wouldn't I do this? I've grown up in this. I chose the colors for my regalia. I will wear these same colors until I die. He was just so adamant about everything about their lifestyle. And yet here stands his dad, who is a drummer, in a trucker's T-shirt and blue jeans. It was just, and looking very Anglo, not looking American Indian at all. No typical coloring, no typical high cheekbones, just this beautiful face, a very loving face when he looked at his wife and his kids, and yet he went over and picked up an instrument to play the drum with. So you can't always tell a book by its cover, but they're trying to find that balance in their life, and they have. They've found a spiritual balance, a simplistic balance. They may be out of balance financially. I don't know. They may have $1 million in the bank. I don't know. It's hard to tell with this particular group of people. And with most, like I said, you can't always tell a book by its cover. Balance just seems to be easy for that particular group of participants. But yet, you and I both know they live in two different worlds. They function in their cultural world, which our government and society doesn't always make easy for them. And they function in an 8-to-5, send their kids to school, that sort of thing, kind of world. Make sure the bills are paid and the food's on the table. Maybe that's easy for them, maybe it isn't. But I got to thinking about what balance was all about because of that group of people, and frankly because of my traveling there and back. Uneventful and quiet. On the plane coming back, I sat with the same people that I sat beside on the way going out there, only to find out that they live within blocks of where I live. Small world, I know. And they go about once a month to go horseback riding there. The gentleman owns a ranch there and horses. So that's part of their balance in their life. And he's elderly and not easy to get around, but they find time. They make time to bring that into their lives. When I thought about it in terms of tarot cards, I, on the way home, was thinking automatically, Justice card, the Death card, Hangman, and in some ways even the Devil. And we'll look at those because I do want to bring that balance energy into your knowledge and something for you to think of. But, of course, Manny, I had to see what a Book of Answers says. The Ultimate Oracle is You by Manny Pureheart. And he has two or three pages about balance. But some that I would like to read to you. That spirit shared with him, for him to share with us. He talks about the balance of shoulds and should nots and musts and can'ts and so forth. But he reminds us, step carefully, it's all happening for you, not to you. At times, someone may have chosen to become balanced in an off-center place. Then here comes balance to shake you loose so that you can find true center again. This is often accomplished by removing physical, emotional, and mental supports you have grown dependent upon to hold you in that place. Let's think about that for a minute. If we find what we think is a balanced space in our life, our health is good, our finances are good, we have a good relationship, car runs, got a roof over our head, so on and so forth, kids are doing good, we think our life is balanced. We go to that art museum opening every now and then. We go to a Genesis concert once every 15 years. We think we are well-rounded or balanced in our life. He's implying, our spirit is implying, that perhaps, just perhaps, we're balanced because other things and people support us in a way that is bordering on codependency rather than true balance of spirit and self. Because if you stop and think about what spirit wants you to have balanced in your life, that's belief in a supreme being, perhaps, not for everyone, but perhaps, call them God, Buddha, whatever, one name, just pick a name, it's the energy that you respect and you bring into your life, and what spirit has to help you grow. There are those that say all of the other things don't mean a hoot. It's just money. It's just health. It's just whatever. You spend your life enriching spirit. Okay, we're doing that. Now, someone would say, how do you enrich spirit? If you don't work on all the other karmic issues, if you believe in karma, that you've been sent here or you've been allowed to come here to address. That's all part of that balance, part of the balance issue. That's when you start getting into relationships, personal and professional, so that you can have those experiences to bring that life balance system into your life. Is that what you think? If it is, give me a call. Direct line for United States of America, 1-877-270-8714. Let me give that to you again, 1-877-270-8714. Canada, still waiting for that first phone call, 1-888-288-4494. Let me give that to you again. For Canada, 1-888-288-4494. I love that phone number. All the eights and fours in there. That's such fun to say. Okay. This is Elaine Ireland, going global for spirit on bbsradio.com, the number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet. For those of you that have wondered what's happened with Elka, our wonderful rune lady, she will be with us. There was a death in her family. She's taking care of that. It's been about 2 weeks ago. And I have not called her because I knew there was going to be some travel involved and that she would be needing to help her in-laws take care of things. But we will have her on. Of course, Kramer's going to be back on in a couple of weeks. When is Kramer going to be back on? He's my astrology bud. I'll have to find that for you. We're going to have a psychic fair here in Austin, November 17th and 18th, Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 6, at the Radisson Hotel, 6000 Middle Fiskville Road. If you're in the area, we would absolutely love for you to come. I can't find when Kramer's coming. It does cost $5 or $6 to get in. And then the readings are also, people charge for the readings, but all the lectures are free all day. They usually start about 11 or 11:30. And it can be a fun day. Bring a friend. Poop around. Get readings. They run anywhere from $5 on up and anywhere from 10 or 15 minutes to an hour. Some of the people do. We have people come from all over Texas. There's even a lady that sometimes flies in from New Mexico with her three daughters to partake in the fair. I think she does that to several psychic fairs around the nation. She just has a great time. Okay, now that I've told you why we were getting into this tonight, this discussion about balance in one's life, we're going to look at the major arcana cards. And the first one that I thought of course, was Justice, because that's a Libra card, and what better, what better card to express balance rather than the Justice card? The Justice card has a very regal-looking, in the Rider-Waite deck, female robes holding a sword, which, of course, the swords are dull on one side and sharp on the other, and a scale in her left hand. And it's interesting that it's left, because left is the site of being fair and just, as your left. It's the card number is the 11. It's the 11th card in the Major Arcana card, and it means faithful intelligence. It's general meaning. The Libra is ruled by Venus, and see, Venus is love and passion and very emotional, and yet the Justice card is supposed to be thoughtful, and or justice is supposed to be thoughtful and analytical and just the facts kind of thing. Emerald green, and yet there is no emerald green except a little bit of green and yellowish green on her cape. Numerologically, she's a 22. This is the law of the land. The Justice card represents the law, and it will come up for people who wear a uniform. It comes up for folks that are men and women that are police officers, attorneys. It comes up a lot for attorneys. Judges, I've had it come up for MPs in the military. It's the people who enforce the rules. Our Hierophant, known as the government card, is the one who creates the rules. The Justice card finds the fairness in the courtroom if necessary. The intent of this card is to create balance on all levels of life and in all situations. That's hard, creating balance. I would venture to say that 90% of the people out there, regardless of where they are status-wise, financially or otherwise, or where they think they are, do not lead a perfectly normal, balanced, forget I said the word normal, perfectly balanced life where everything is in place. And if they are, I think I'd worry about them a little bit. You know, you open a drawer and everything is perfect. That's kind of scary. I admire it, but it's a little scary. I think it's called anal. But some people find their balance in their life by being that way, by having those attitudes. And we have to love them for it. They're the ones who keep us in line. Let's see. That's going to tell you about this card. But then what does fair mean to each individual? What does balance mean? If it shows up in reverse, it's major imbalance in all areas of the Corinth life. You encourage patience and understanding as they receive decisions that they have no control over. Now, that's a tricky statement Spirit gave me. We like to think we're in order. We like to think that we're in control, even when we know there is no control in our life. And sometimes people hand us challenges. And that's part of that challenge I talked about a while ago. And we deal with it, and out of it we learn our strengths and our weaknesses and what's really important to us in our life to bring us better balance. Okay, and then I thought about the Death card. I know. What does that have to do with balance? Well, if you look at the card, it shows a skeleton ensconced in a knight's armor in black and gray on a white horse, which are gray horse in some decks, carrying the peace flag, carrying a flag with the peace rose on it. Right in front of him, it looks like the horse is moving. Right in front of him is what some people would call the Pope, obviously a church leader. In the background is the Twin Towers of Wisdom with the sun, either setting or rising, we don't know, probably setting, and children, women and men and children underneath the horse's hoofs, like he's just stomped on them or is about to. And it simply says, death waits for no one. You know, the old-timers used to say, two things you can be sure of is death and taxes. Well, there's a third thing that you can be sure of, and that's consistent inconsistencies. That's a mouthful. I have to think about that one. But the Death card, in its own way, does bring balance because it's renewal, rebirth, transformation, imagination, new beginnings. There's renewal. You know, the old saying, one door opens, closes, another one opens. May not be the one we want to open, but it is opportunity. And, you know, there are tons and tons of cliches that you can can say and think about that I'm not going to do that, but when you stop and think about it, death, its color is even blue-green. It's imaginative intelligence. Scorpio is ruled by Pluto, very powerful. It's the 13. It's a card, and when you add the 1 and the 3 up, it adds up to 4, which is your foundation number. So even in death and change, whether you have control or you don't, you're standing on the foundation of new beginnings, which can be a very encouraging card to have come up. Now, for me, rarely does it show up as a physical death of an animal or a person. For me, typically, it's circumstances, situations. I tend to get physical death when I get it, which is not very often. Typically, immediately after it has happened, or if someone is going through a death process. I've had lots of clients that I've asked, when was your last physical? Or you've been really worried about your mom lately, and they'll respond with, yes, they're very ill, or yes, I just found out I have this or that. So it's the death card is not tricky at all. It's wonderful about telling us that we're getting rid of things that we don't need in our lives, like cleaning out of things. It gives us the opportunity to alter an attitude about new beginnings. And it also tells you that you need to listen to your psychic ability. You need to tell your quarant, if you're reading for someone, that they have a tremendous amount of psychic ability they need to be developing. Maybe they don't want to this lifetime, but something to think about anyway, something for them to get to thinking about. Death is renewal, which brings a wonderful balance in our card, in our life. The tower card, the towers in the back are significant with that. The next one is the hangman. Bless his little heart. He hangs upside down. It's called a Trinity card. And it's the 10th, 11th, 12th card in the deck. It's stabilizing intelligence. It's water ruled by Neptune. It's even hanging upside down. He's got balance in his life, which I think is great. This card tells us that there's balance even in what seems to be completely out of balance. When you look at the card, you see him hanging by 1 foot, his right leg, actually his left leg, by a cord from the top of what looks like a T, and then his other leg crosses right behind his calf, which makes another T, and then he has his arms behind him, which behind him and across the back of his back looks like another T. That's why it's called the Trinity card. It's the three T's. And he has red on his legs, red leggings, and blue across his chest, blue shirt, and a yellow, healthy yellow glow around his head. Red is a kick in the butt color. Let's go. Let's get it done. Blue is almost an indigo blue. It's very much a mental, spiritual color. And, of course, the yellow around him is active intelligence. There's new growth on the tree, on the T. So you've got the 13... that adds up to a 4, which is foundation. Numerologically, the number is 20, is also 13. So you've got, again, balance in 14. So there's balance even when you're hanging upside down. Sometimes we hang upside down on purpose, or we're put upside down in order to give thought to what's going on around us. It's a very passionate card. It's new growth opportunities. The yellow in his halo says he has all of the right energy to do what he needs to do, to do what he wants to do whatever he's capable of doing. The Trinity is representative of the part that our religion or belief systems must play in our lives when we feel so helpless. And that's a statement that from the book. It's the Trinity is representative of the part that our religion or belief system must play in our lives when we feel helpless. So looking to whatever your belief systems are, it doesn't matter. Again, go back to whatever that is for you, Buddha, Christ, God, whatever, and or hugging a tree, I don't care. Whatever works for you is all that's important. And remember that no matter how out of balance we may think our life is, the universe does have a plan. We have a plan on a subconscious level, and we all know what that is, regardless of what's going on. We may not like it, but if we'll let it, good can come out of any situation. So the hangman encourages us to trust and to love one another no matter what. So, and sometimes this card comes up for changes, just plain old changes. You know, we're moving from one city to another. We're taking one job. We're ending or beginning relationships. We're opening or closing businesses. And if that's the case, 9 times out of 10, the tower card or the death card may show up to impress it. But this is also, the hangman says, hey, no matter what's going on around us, there's balance. When it's in reverse, there is no balance in this person's life. So we start to look at, or they feel there is no balance. They feel there is no balance. So we need to benefit them. We look at the cards around it for personal, business, emotional, and any other card that could give us a hint of what may be going on or what they think is going on, and then maybe discuss it with them. It could be trust issues, jealousy, fear. Those are emotional things and psychological little goodies, too. So if you have a thought on this, and I hope you do, give me a call, USA, at 1-877-270-8714, Canada, 1-888-288-4494. Let me grab a drink of water here. Thank you. Okay. And tell me what you think or ask me a question. If I can't answer it, I can probably give you the phone number of somebody that can, but we do try. Okay, we've already talked about the death card. We just talked about the hangman. I'm using the Rider-Waite deck, photos by, or drawings rather, by Patricia Waite. You can get those at most bookstores in a variety of sizes and prices. There are many decks out there, and I encourage you to not just get stuck with one while you're studying. Or actually, that's not quite right. I would like to introduce everyone to the Rider-Waite deck. If you can read that deck, you can read any deck. It doesn't always resonate. The Rider-Waite deck does not always resonate with folks, and that's okay. I'm just saying. Because of its clarity of symbolism, color, so on, numerology, if you can read this one, you could have a blank card in front of you that says the name or the number of the card, and it would all come to mind, and you would just fall right in. And then, of course, it enriches any other deck that you may use. The Devil card, I know that's an odd one for balance, but I'll explain why in a minute. We'll get there. It's 9:05 Central Standard Time. I'll be here until about 9:28, so give me a call. Okay, now, the general meaning is renewing intelligence. It's Capricorn, ruled by Saturn, slip of the tongue there, and its color is indigo, which I think is interesting since there's absolutely no blue on this card. Patricia Waite put absolutely no blue on this card. The background is black, the wings are gray, it's got a little bit of orange and red on it, some brown. Flesh tones a little on the orangey side for the two humans. It represents skeletal structure, teeth, bones, spleen, so on. This card talks to us about obsessions, extremes, the darkness in our souls that frighten us when we're alone, and the fear of taking action to make a move towards the light. So we've got balance there between light and dark, spiritual light. Indigo is denoted here because it's one of the deepest and highest colors of spirituality, and yet there's no indigo on here. So could that be because we just get through the devil before we attain that marvelous state of peace and knowledge? Could that be it? And the passion this person has for everything they do. So if this card comes up, this is a person of extremes and obsessions. Extremes meaning too much food, not enough. Too much work, not enough. Too much play, not enough. You get the idea. Obsessions because they could be the kind of person who has to wash their hands every 5 minutes or can't leave the house in the morning until it's been completely cleaned, even though they cleaned it before they went to bed the night before, like vacuuming and cleaning the dishes and putting them up and making sure that last load of laundry is folded. You know, I don't know when people get up in the morning to do this and still be at work by 8, if that's the case. Folks like that always have a living room covered in plastic or refuse to let anybody sit in a perfect room. That kind of obsession. Or their work just has to be absolutely perfect. That's obsession. Now, black is a color. This is an extreme opposite of what this card can mean. Black is the color of being willing to try anything at least once. And if you'll remember, black is the color that you get when you mix all of the colors together. You add in all the primary colors and it will become black. So it's interesting that you've dumped everything in there. You have everything you need. You have all the opportunities you could possibly need, and yet the color black has gotten a negative connotation. So, and black is used a lot to scare people. I mean, we've got Halloween coming up, folks, and just think about all the black that happens at Halloween. It's supposed to be a scary color. I'm a little bit surprised that this card is not full of red, frankly. And if you look at the figures, it shows a male and a female figure. They're in chains. There's a chain around their neck individually, tied to the cube. The chain represents the universe that this person or this energy controls. If you look at the chains, they're loose. So these figures could break away, if not for the fear that keeps them there. That's an extreme. The devil is lighting the tail of the male. The male reaches to the female for help. But her tail has grapes on it. So it tells us that there's hopes for new beginnings. Okay, let's see. This card does show imbalance. There's no freedom in this card at all. And yet there is. Because if part of the extreme of this person is that they work so hard for their family, that's an extreme and a loving intent. But the other side of that is their fear of not being able to provide or not being respected or cared about in their own way. The gray on here is wisdom, and they're learning how to make changes out of that wisdom and maybe even finding some courage out of the wisdom. There is a pentagram on top of his crown chakra, and, of course, in this artistic rendering, he's looking a little fierce across the eyes. And, yes, he has the horns and he has the talons and, you know, all that stuff that's meant to be scary. If it's in reverse, they're free at last. They've overcome, excuse me, tremendous obstacles so that they can be in control of life. And that's health, finances, job, career, relationships. Now, what is control of life? What is control of all that? When you're controlling something, it usually involves another person and their needs and wants. So again, we have to go back and find that balance, like in the hangman, where you strive for that balance. But when the devil card is in reverse, they truly are overcoming their fears. They're reaching out for enlightenment. They're able to take even the first step towards whatever freedom means to them. This card can also show up in reverse for divorcees, deep depressions, and mental illness. So you have to look at what prisons of sort what lack of control there is in deep depression and mental illness with this card in reverse. If it shows up with the Tower card, you've usually got somebody that's having a hard time emotionally and mentally, more mentally. But don't they tie together sometimes? I do. I think one can sometimes really damage the other. Okay, USA, 1-877-270-8714. Give me a call. We've got about 10, 15 minutes. We could chat. Canada, 1-888-288-4494. We're looking at balance tonight and what balance means in our lives, personally. And you don't have to tell me your name if you just want to give me an opinion. That's okay. You know, there are all kinds of balances even within. We can break down our categories in our home life. What is balance? There could be five or six or seven things in there. Financially, what is the perfect portfolio? Where's the balance in the portfolio? Our career, are we spending too much time? What is too much time? Building a career. Thank you. Hi, this is Elaine. I understand I have a caller.
Hi, Elaine. This is Vince in California.
Hi, Vince in California. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well.
What can we help you with tonight?
I want to do, being it's my wife's birthday.
Ah, okay.
I wanted to see what they have to say about our relationship, how we work together as we move forward in our own, you know, because we both have very different talents, in the spiritual realms especially. What do they have to say about how we move forward working together as we're both, you know, continually growing?
I think it's a blessing when you have different talents like that to share. And I do think, I want to congratulate you for even asking the question about how you can work together and how you can enhance each other. That's a perfect example of striving towards a balanced relationship. I was talking about the different levels and different paths within relationships. Now, in answer to your how you're going to work together, image for me a time, what they call them, where you turn those things upside down, where the sand trickles through.
Okay.
Hourglass. Where it looks kind of like a figure eight. I can see things getting just really stopped up around April and May of next year, and almost the two of you jostling for first position, so to speak, or equal time, equal position on your individual paths, but yet you're overlapping and being supportive of each other, and yet at the same time getting in each other's way. Now, how that can work is you wanting her to go on a trip with you, but she's got something else she feels like she needs to do, or vice versa. Or you want her to go take a class with you, or she wants you to go do something when you're real busy with your own thing. That's the only issue that I see coming up for you again in April or May. Other than that, you seem to be walking four or five steps ahead of each other and then catching up, and then you'll take four or five steps and she's behind you, and then before you know it, she's ahead of you. Are y'all writing a book together?
No.
I see you putting thoughts down on paper.
Yeah.
Literally, like a journal or something like that. And they're, after about 3 years, it's something that can be published. So that's, to me, that's very important. Maybe you're supposed to chronicle your journey as a husband and wife team and how you grew together, including how you get in each other's way, but at the same time, know each other better when you do come out of it in on your own spiritual path. Because we all travel more than one path in a lifetime. You'll travel with her on her path and vice versa, and then you'll veer off and go do your thing for a while, as she will, and then you come back together again like the hourglass, and you share and support, teach each other, and then move away from each other. You've both got children to teach. I don't know whether they're grandkids, friends of, or children of friends. You've both got young people, teenagers, and youngsters to share your knowledge with, and that's one of the things you will do together. And this book, or publishing your memories or whatever you want to call it on your path is something you will do together as well. That's in about 5 years. Happy birthday.
Okay, thank you very much.
Anything else?
I think at times I've pushed my wife to, you know, in the business things that I'm doing, to assist me there. It was mentioned that I'm starting to, as it's been mentioned a couple times, that she's more like just energetically supporting. Does that make any sense?
Oh, yeah.
Instead of me wanting her to directly involved with me?
Absolutely. That's just like her sitting in the sidelines and cheering you on and supporting you in a Reiki sort of way where she sends you energy and sends you good thoughts and supports you in that way and is there when you need to talk. Support is support, and if you can have spiritual support, that's invaluable. That's because spiritual involvement, spiritual support is, to me, and this is only my opinion, the purest of support you can have. Does that make any sense to you? Because
that's
without judgment. Yeah, there's no judgment there. There's just absolute love and support, and I'm here if you need me kind of thing. It's just, I think it's great when people can do that.
Okay, and I think the final thing, what's a special message for my wife from Spirit tonight on her 50th birthday?
What a special birthday, 50th. There's something very magical about 50th and 60th birthdays. And again, I say happy birthday to her. A special message from Spirit for her. What is her first name or nickname?
Pamela. Pam.
Pamela. Okay. Pamela. Did she just buy some new clothes?
She probably did.
Because I got a female voice that kind of giggled and said, "It all looks great. Don't worry about it." Must have been something she was concerned about. What she's going to be doing, I'm getting a male voice telling me that for the next 5 to 7 years, she's going to be even more embroiled in her own development, and that it's going to take her down a children's path, and it's going to take her down a path that she would least expect ever to have been involved in. So I don't know whether she's going to start working with, I know children are part of it. Okay, what I'm seeing is wheelchairs. I don't know how she's going to be helping or assisting handicapped or advising handicapped. She's going to, and she may not do it 8 hours a day, 12 hours a day, but she's somehow going to be involved in that world because of her own spiritual growth. Now, she's not in wheelchairs. She's helping people who are handicapped in some way. They're mentally very bright, very sharp. Their bodies are bruised, are broken. And that's something she's going to be, if she isn't already, something she's going to be drawn to by the first of next year. She might even get dumped into it by a friend. A friend may say, "Come on, I want you to come volunteer and do some work with me," and then kind of get hooked on it. She has a lot to do the next 8 years. A lot. There's travel with you and for you. And she's going to be surprised at how much she enjoys it. Well, you know, sometimes we do things when we have a different purpose. When we change our purpose or change our attitude towards the purpose, it can change everything about the event itself. Everything. And that may be what it is. She's going to surprise herself and have a good time. Can't beat that. She's got she has a fairly healthy life as well over the next 10 to 12 years. She's going to be looking great and feeling good and have more breathing in her lungs than she's had in a while. She's not going to feel a short of breath and have more energy to do the things that she says in her head she wants to do or needs to do for herself.
that brings up a thing. What is that breathing thing she's going through all about right now?
Typically, even the Louise Hay book will tell you that anytime you have shortness of breath on a subconscious level, you're, for some reason, cutting life back. Sometimes it's, sometimes, and I'm not saying she's doing this, but sometimes it can be an excuse to not do things, either because you feel like you can't, you shouldn't, or you're punishing somebody. You're not going to help them by doing something. In her case, she's been going through about 6 years of reliving a past life. This lifetime, she can make it better. She can make the breathing better. Where in that past lifetime, she lost her life to the condition. She doesn't have to this time. She has control. She can fix it. She can fix her body. So it's like a karmic memory, a cell memory that's being brought to completion. She does, of course, need to check with her doctor if she hasn't already. And if she's not getting satisfactory diagnosis or treatment, then she needs to keep going until she gets to somebody who can help her so that she can get past this cell memory and be done with it. Finish it. Finish off that part of that life. Has she been to a pulmonary specialist yet?
I don't know about a pulmonary specialist.
That's probably where she needs to be. That's kind of a shortcut to...
The doctors haven't been that helpful in that area.
Well, she needs to keep going until she gets with the doctor who says, okay, I'm the expert in this and we're going to fix this.
Could a past life regression or something of that nature assist?
Yes, absolutely. Always. It just depends on who your leader is. But 9 times out of 10, with a good hypnotist or a therapist, you can go back. It might take 2 or 3 sessions depending on how in tune she is with that person. Go back and figure out exactly where it came from. And in her case, it's not just one lifetime, it's two. And in both of them, she was about this age, maybe 5 or 6 years younger, when it started up. Now she needs to finish it so she doesn't ever have to live through it again. And she can finish it this lifetime. Just needs to keep digging. That's part of the process. That's part of the karma, figuring it out.
Okay, well, I thank you very much.
You're welcome, and thanks for listening. Happy birthday again. What are y'all going to do special?
Relax. I've been cooking and cleaning all day.
Well, good. Sometimes that's the nicest present to ourselves is just taking a night off. Thank you again for calling in, and thanks again for listening. Take care of yourselves.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Ben from California. That phone number again is 1-877-270-8714. That's U.S. of A. Canada, 1-888-288-4494. Still waiting for that first Canadian phone call. We have looked at balance, what it means. Some people call it true center in one's life. If you really get into yoga and meditation and transcendental meditation and some of those other going inward and looking inward practices, they will say true center. So in true center, you're really looking for a spiritual balance. In the everyday worker world, we want and strive to have balance in all areas of our lives, whatever areas are important to us, whether it's money, health, family, career, retirement fund, whatever your categories are. Sometimes people try too hard to find them all balanced because within each category there are different paths to follow. So try to not be hard on yourself. Take your life one day at a time. I'm going to be a little philosophical here. Take your life one day at a time. Work on that day's issues. Pick 2 or 3 that are long-term. Pick 1 or 2 that are short-term issues. Think about them, even if you can't do anything about them that particular day. make a plan to do, and then get out of your way so the universe can help you. Sneaky, huh? That was a sneaky statement. Because I do firmly believe that we need to get out of our own way sometimes. We are in control, and yet we're not. I believe the universe sets us up for things that we have no control over. And then there are some things that we can adjust with our own free will. And we're given that slight bit of control in our lives. But keep working for balance, whatever that means to you. And pick up a stack of tarot cards and enjoy those if you can. And they'll teach you a lot about yourself. They can, whether you ever, never use them to do a reading for anyone, whether you just study the colors and study the symbols and read about the meanings and how they tie into your religious beliefs, or there's a book called The Bible and the Tarot, which is really interesting if you can find it, and The Royal Road, which is another one. It's wonderful meditations on the major arcana cards, and you just read about them and how people thought about life when they were putting them together in their meanings. You can learn so much, and you will open up psychically. And that's another part of the balance of our lives. I appreciate your being with me tonight. Think about balance this week. If you didn't have time to call in tonight or couldn't for some reason, I'd love to hear from you in the future. This has been Elaine Ireland, going global for spirit on bbsradio.com. Heard in Canada and the USA, and we're thinking probably in other parts of the world as well. Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on bbsradio.com. We'll be back next week on Wednesday, 8:30 Central Standard Time. I hope that you will join me and call in next time. It's a whole hour, uninterrupted. We can do readings, we can talk about things, and we can certainly talk about other things rather than just the subject I've chosen. You can find me at ElaineIrelandPsychic.com. Pam is working her little fingers off to get me back online. She just is taking this opportunity. To make a long story short, the porn industry discovered us, so she shut the site down and is taking the opportunity to make some pretty major changes so that when it does come up, again, it's going to have a different look and have my book there and all kinds of other things. She just hadn't stopped long enough to do, and now she's being gracious enough to do that for me. So we'll see you next week. Well, we'll hear each other next week. Meanwhile, have a great week, and don't forget to share a smile with someone. Good night, world. Yeah.